My little program. 2 days ago, I was finally able to open up Blender and look at the geometry nodes through the eyes of a programmer. I immediately noticed that Blender developers faced the same concern I did, and only install an input box after the mouse down event. I always assumed that they had wide open input boxes that were just well programmed in an efficient graphical environment. But they do a little switcheroo right after the mouse is pressed and before it is released. The little number box changes to an input box. Up until now, I was only concerned with fragments of my program and questions such as how to do when a value changes. The what part is always easy. You have to choose the right path to get there. I started thinking about this program ages ago. It's hard to define a precise date. Maybe early 2000s? When I was looking at an extended Unix command line that actually created a graph tree rather than what is better understood as a single line forward. Every issue I faced outside of my program turned out to have a pretty decent solution in it. It's pretty crazy. Visual programming enhances our ability to deal with complexity, to put it simply. It helps us create stuff out of boxes and lines, out of diagrams. It is, in fact, an upgrade to our comprehension, our imagination, our recognition, our short-term and long-term memory. And it helps us code fast. Your hands do not need to leave the keyboard. Just hit Tab to create a new node. Fortunately, everything in our age is broken. All of it. Everything. Especially smartphones. Oh my goodness, that lockdown operating system. The Bluetooth bug that was just patched this December, the December we are in, that allowed turning on the microphone. Oh wow, everything is so broken, it's not even funny. And it's broken all the way down. So you look at a phone that's broken, and then you can travel down to files, to databases, and the other concepts that those things use. Files can easily be overwritten or clobbered. Databases, as useful as they are, you know what? They demand transactions and replication to really truly work. So it's not just a database, it's a network of computers. It is just a silly meme when your professor tells you, no, you can't create your database. Yes, you can. Redis is a beautiful example of a beautiful database. And every programming language needs to come with an HTTP server that hoists some simple objects perfectly native to that language and turns them into a storage device. It all lives in the memory with a sync every second. It will be fine. It is a kind of a database, and it would certainly allow for basic collaboration and the creation of communication networks, which are just about the most important things in the world. The way you set up your peer networking, the way you route your events across your network, it's all possible to do if every language ships with a little database exactly like Redis, but focused on the native objects and data types that come with the language. It's a fantastic project to be tackling. out in the programming framework world, where frameworks provide programmers with some extra needed tools, some kind of a strange misunderstanding pushed everyone away from object-oriented programming, which was so important. It is so critical to development of applications that it's silly not to use it. It is not possible to build an application without OOP. We must be able to say, application is my class, and here are all the functions. And then we must be able to instantiate multiple copies of the application via the new keyword. Trust me. Then we must be able to say application start and await application.api.loadFile, where API is specifically crafted to the user and it has nothing to do with system internals. And of course, we need views. We need multiple views per application to support various display schemes. So we have to be able to say application.view0.start. Then the view of our application must absolutely have a hierarchy of components. Node0.body.caption.text. Node5, body.rows.addStatusBar component. It is disturbing when people say that OOP is for the control of masses or the naive programmers. Object-oriented programming means concept mapping, and that in turn means bigger brains. Exactly what everyone needs right now. Really, honestly, it means sanity. Sanity of a strong application architecture that will carry your program forward. Bastardized JavaScript that demands AST pre-processing and then mounting on a strange random element somewhere within the DOM is not the way. And before you think about it, merely eliminating syntax mangling, which is to say JSX and TypeScript, still does a little. Readably interacting with the document object model is just a few short functions. Literally, like 5 functions with maybe 10 lines of code each. You're not redeveloping jQuery. It is just a utility knife that you keep next to your application. That's all. Frameworks work when you are busy and need to move forward. But in the long run, they don't work. They kind of just quickly help programmers who are still learning. My program does not depend on a framework, and it extends the object and array into reactive object and reactive array. It is just a few lines of code again, and everything updates automatically throughout the system. In fact, when subscribing to changes, the subscription should trigger the change callback immediately. This way, whenever you are observing something, it will instantly initialize, so you don't have to provide a default value. Application architecture allows wrapping underlying complexity into a nice and beautiful uniform object-oriented framework. I myself, in my little program, travel from HTML to SVG And then a well-positioned foreign object, meaning back to HTML. And object-oriented application architecture, where view components behave somewhat like Java Swing, perfectly smooths everything out. In Svelte, the pre-rune version, I'm sorry. You just end up dumping data into DOM nodes, Wild Wild West style. And what if you need two concepts, like HTML and SVG? Do you just kind of loop over in an SVG and then move over down to loop over HTML? That is a terrible idea, and it's so ugly, and it's so terrible to mix SVG and HTML in nodes right next to each other. And then what the alternative to that is going to be, positioning everything one on top of the other. I don't think that's a very good idea at all. It's a terrible idea. It's a mess. It's spaghetti code. You need that application architecture to keep everything flat and beautiful and stored in a tree. And mind you, Svelte is a wonderful framework. It's a beautiful piece of art. Very friendly and about as far out of your way as a framework could ever possibly be. And without mangling the standard syntax, meaning all your syntax highlighting will work and you don't have to ship custom color coding plugins with every IDE. What a silly, silly idea that is. JSX and TypeScript, and you know, we should mention CoffeeScript every time we talk about ASD mangling. Greatly multiply the liability that code already is by default. Messing with the AST is absolutely fun. But it should not be used in a real application, because after a decade passes, your code isn't just older JavaScript that can be automatically updated, but an unholy combination of outdated plugins, many of which will no longer exist, and a total lack of long-term support as large corporations move on to screw something else up. Code completion is not worth it. You need to know your application so that you know what you're doing, rather than just pull up a map of functions you can execute. Same applies to HTML template engines. Don't use them. Make a tool that converts HTML to JavaScript and stop asking the DOM to find the nodes that you should already have access to. And, you know, you don't have to use the DOM notation where you do set attribute every line. Just convert HTML into something that uses an object that applies those properties, or, in the case of styles and classes, wisely merges them. It is not a lot of programming. And it saves a lot of questions. All your DOM nodes are exposed right there, and you can attach your event listeners or do whatever you need to do, hide them and show them without needing to grab them out of the DOM by ID again. That's just silly. My program didn't just drag me through what frameworks obscure, but also the world of graphic design. I needed to understand colors the way painters did. So I learned photorealism in Krita. I understood the gentle dance of color. And you know, today's image generators are quite capable at creating some skeuomorphic designs that can truly bring beauty to the user interface. More than that, I started a tiny revolution, at least in my vision of the user interface. Just about the time when everyone ran away from skeuomorphism, which, by the way, is just this wonderful little idea that kind of makes UI components look like strange, cute little real-world objects with rounded-off edges. To me, flat design is even a bigger excuse than using programming frameworks. It is just not a very good idea. My revolution brings the ideas from futuristic fantasy user interfaces into the themes of my little program. So, it's skeuomorphism, but also sci-fi user interfaces to really titillate the eye while working on some obscure button deep down in some web page. I will never tolerate flat design for long. I will always see flat themes as unfinished. My programs will always ship with multiple efficient skeuomorphic themes that just fascinate. Even if for a day or a week, they will look so good. And you know this is now possible with the aid of artificial intelligence, the image generator part. My little program is made with level of detail and zoomable user interfaces in mind already. So it's going to be truly a visual adventure. I am developing it on a low-powered SBC, or a single-board computer, which is slightly slower than a phone, so I can see the cost that colorful graphics have. And I will take great pleasure in creating efficient line-based alternatives that look like 1980 sci-fi. This will allow for making large graphs on low-powered computers and make the visual programming fun for all. Finally, and quite importantly so, creating a visual programming language is not an aim and should never be. It is a power to create graphic tools that help with mapping out application complexity. That is also something the computer world forgot about. Writing code should come second to creating beautiful interactive application diagrams that will snap all the system components together and grow along with the application, and even more than that. And please hear me out. The visual programming language, the entire environment, should ship with the final version of the application, the way web browsers allow for view source and ship with various development tools. This is important. Users should be allowed to mod or upgrade whatever they need. Above all, programming is about the freedom to invent and turn thoughts into reality. This is not just a lesson for commercial closed-source applications either. Open source, especially the large projects that will get stale eventually, should ship with visual programming tools attached right behind the user interface. Users should be allowed to drag and drop new things together. Modding is an important freedom that must never ever be ignored. It is a very important invitation to new programmers to help students enter the world of application programming. Make the code understandable. Make it clear. Allow new programmers to grow the applications inside out, and you will change the world for better.